All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Glass in the Morning radio program. Happy Wednesday, the final day of summer, September 21, 2016. There's Margaret Fetti.
Good morning.
We'll welcome in fall tomorrow, 10:21 in the morning, but it's not going to feel a whole lot like fall. If you're looking for crisp evenings and maybe some chill in the air, well, no, the chill is might going to come from your air conditioner, as temperatures will stay in the mid-80s to upper 80s all the rest of the week and into the weekend. The good news is the humidity is not very high, so it's not going to have that summer feel to it. More of a, I don't know, Margaret, Indian summer? I don't know what you call it, but here's what we know. You're not scraping anything. You don't need the flannel out. You don't need to get hot toddies ready to go just yet. We're still in September. And the great news is you don't need your umbrella all the rest of the week or the weekend. The next best chance of rain we have isn't until next Wednesday, and that's only a 50-50 shot. Everything through the end of this weekend is 10% or less, so let's enjoy it, get out there, and have some fun. 88 today, tomorrow, 87 on Friday, 86 on Saturday, 84 on Sunday. Warm nights as well, temperatures in the mid to low 60s.
Yeah, this is my perfect
time
of year.
Almost early June-ish or mid-June-ish. Check it out for yourself. You won't need the radar, and you can see when this is going to break at WGCLradio.com. It is Wednesday morning, and we catch up with county government as County Councilwoman Marty Hawk makes her weekly Wednesday visit. Marty, before we get into your busy, busy week, I just want to point out that sometimes my forecasts are wrong. Sometimes they are inaccurate, and you couldn't have asked for a better one last Friday and Saturday for me to screw up as the Ellettsville Fall Festival, the Monroe County Fall Festival. Looks like you guys had a great time.
Well, we certainly did. I'm telling you, on Saturday when we were thinking whether or not what we were going to do, as it poured and poured
in the morning,
and then it just cleared and allowed us to have the parade. Now, the sad part was that many people who might have planned to attend, be there and watch the parade, it didn't clear until almost the very last minute. So the turnout for the parade was not as great as we've had in the past, but those that were there, I mean, the sun came out.
Yeah.
We were just delighted, and I walked the entire parade route, which may not seem like it very much to anybody, but considering the fact that I have that vertigo problem.
Oh, my.
Saturday was a beautiful day. It was, I was just...
Marty,
going.
That's a long walk. I participated in that parade. That you did really good. You walked that the whole thing.
I saw
you
a bunch of
really
pictures
good.
On Facebook. That wasn't a half a block parade there. They had a nice procession, lots of people involved. I saw Dr. Mike Wilcox's 1951 red tractor getting fired up. So it was great. The weather moved out. And hopefully after the parade on Saturday, everybody had a great time, because I don't think it rained again, did it?
Oh, we just had a great time. And, of course, ate too much of the food that I love to have.
That's why
you
walked the parade route.
Right, and then met a lot of people down at the tent area and participated there. And then I was so lucky that someone with one of the little golf carts took me back to where my car was, which was, 2 or 3 miles away.
At least.
I thought, I'm not sure I can walk back 2 or 3 miles back to the car.
No, you've had a full day up to that point. Let's
first. I was just absolutely thrilled that the sun came out, because so many people worked so hard to make that festival a success.
And September's a month we don't get a lot of rain, and it was. I'm happy it worked out. I'm happy everybody had a great time. I saw the pictures again on Facebook. It looked like everybody was having fun, and that's what it's about.
Right.
And fall's usually dry, and I'm glad it got dry just in time. Like you said, it wasn't the perfect scenario, but it beats a washout.
Absolutely. And, of course, now this coming weekend is the one in Steinsville.
Oh, okay, great.
So that's always a great parade, and the walk for that one is downhill.
As long as somebody takes you to the top.
It's a real easy one to walk. So I'm hoping that it'll be another great weekend there, because those folks really work hard to make that small town just come alive and people come from all over to come back home.
Now, what time does Steinsville's parade get started on Saturday?
I apologize. I don't have that.
That's okay. I will look that up either later this morning.
I'm actually on it right now.
We'll see what time that's going. I'm not going to even guess because I don't want to put a wrong time in anybody's hands. Now, speaking of time, Marty, your schedule this week has been turned upside down. We knew that was going to be it to a degree, but you've had some Monday action. You're going to have some action tonight, tomorrow. Tell us why everything is shifted and what times you are going the rest of the week.
Right. Now, Monday we had more budget hearings, and the treasurer was not there. I was told later that she had pneumonia.
Oh.
But I did notice last evening that she was at the debate, so evidently she's feeling much better. So we'll be hearing her budget as well. Let me see. I think we have that scheduled for tonight.
Yes, she was participating in the debate last night.
Right.
Just not
Monday night. She was supposed to be before the county council to present her budget for next year. Because even if the elected official is not going to be in that department, they still have to prepare the budget
for the following year.
But I'll get back to that in just a minute. So anyway, so that was Monday, and then of course yesterday, many of us participated in the torch relay, which I was just so happy to be a part of being there to help that celebration in the Ellisville area with our very own Darby McCarty holding it and receiving it and taking it forward. That was just a special time.
Well, it only happens once every 200 years, Marty. None of us are going to be
around
for the next one.
I wasn't about to miss it. That it was wonderful. And so anyway, so that was Tuesday. And so then today is our continued budget hearings, and that'll be several of the departments. And I see that the treasurer's on the list to come back again. So hopefully she'll be able to be there today. And the reason why that one is important that we look at, because it appeared she had cut her budget, and there are some on the council that believe that budget needs to be, I know it sounds strange, but it needs to be a bit higher. That's what some have said, because we don't want to leave a brand new treasurer sitting there with a cut budget that will make it difficult to operate. So we'll see how that works out. And then we have another budget hearing again on Thursday night. Now, that's going to be the big one, because that's where we come together to decide what are we going to do about all this public safety tax money. Because what's been happening is that as we're going through these budgets, we're saying, okay, we can move this $300,000 over there to public safety, or, you know, we're moving from what would have been under property tax and moving it over to the public safety tax. And we had to be very cautious when we do that, because the whole point in having the public safety tax, we told the public we needed it, and we had hoped to be able to provide additional services, more law enforcement on the road, more, you understand, to cover all of the expenses that maybe we couldn't afford to cover otherwise. And so we have to be very cautious that we're not just freeing up the money in that property tax levy, moving it over to the public income tax, safety tax, and just playing that game of moving things around. It's something that we have been doing, and I support to a certain extent, because we're already way over budget in covering our law enforcement, our jail, the courts, and so forth. But we have to be careful, or there will be nothing left to be able to provide for the additional road deputies and so forth that people really want us to pay for.
So during these hearings, is this where the public can put their input into what should be those priorities?
Well, hopefully they are letting us know what they think as we go along. But remember, these what we're doing now is we're voting on, we're having the hearing, but the public input, which to me seems a bit backwards, but this is the way it's set up, is that then there is the final adoption of it and public hearing portion. And I don't have that date in front of me, but it is sometime in October.
So in other
to me,
words,
that seems it's too late, but that's the way it feels to me.
That's what I was going to say, Marty. I mean, I've sat through those hearings before, and basically the public really can't say anything about this stuff until after you guys have already voted on everything and got it all set up. And then the final vote, like, what are you going to do? If the public gives you some really great idea, you're going to have to say, oh, stop everything. We're going to go back and do this all over again. You're right. It is backwards, and it's a shame.
And, you know, it isn't, that isn't the as I understand it, this is the way it's set up by the state, that actually you're not even required to do all of this separate hearing. The only thing you're really required is when's the day you're going to actually vote on these totals. And so we're not really required to do all these days and days of this. Perhaps some counties don't. Perhaps they just come together on the date that they're going to have the vote on the totals. I don't know. Maybe small counties, that's the way they would do it. For us, we used to do it in like 3 or 4 days, all in 1 week, get it done and over with, and it would be an all-day meeting for 3 or 4 days, or sometimes just an afternoon evening meeting. The reason why I think it was better that way is that not only do we have to schedule it, the county council schedule it, but that shouldn't be as important as all of the county employees, department heads, and so forth that have to come and make presentations. They have to schedule their whole life around when the budget hearing is going to be, because even if they're, let's say, if they're scheduled for a Tuesday, if something doesn't work out and we have to call them back on a Thursday or the following week, they have to always be there and available to show up for these meetings. So I really think it worked better when we tried to do it all within 1 week and be done with it. But I agree with you, Margaret. I think that it's difficult the way it's set up, because I think the public believes they really don't have the kind of input they would like to have.
So I guess the lesson from this is that if you feel strongly about something going on in these budgets, that I guess you contact your county council people prior to the budgets.
For next year.
Yeah. I mean,
right.
I don't even know. And see, I think it's just, it basically says to the community that you know, your input is just really not very significant, and we aren't going to do something to change that. And I think that's really sad.
Well, I think you have to sort of look at, okay, what are the state rules, or
You know what, though, Marty? You know, I'm not disagreeing with you that this is state rules, but there is no reason why the county could not institute something saying that, you know, that putting something out there ahead of time saying these are what we're considering as our budgetary, you know, things that were priorities, these are our goals, something for the public to see a month before budget hearings.
Right. And it seems every year there is some numbers that we just don't have to help us make decisions until almost the last minute. Either we don't know what our income tax revenue is going to be, or we don't know what the department what their requests are. It's set up in such a way that departments have to make requests by a certain time. Then county commissioners are supposed to be making a presentation to the council what they think is available for either raises or not. For the county employees, and then they also have to be the one to show us this is how much to plug in for insurance and so forth. And it's all sort of like, it just works on incremental changes as we go along. And so what you think you knew a month ago completely changes a month later.
I've watched it. It is really so much more convoluted and complex than most people have any idea.
It's difficult, and I really don't know how to make it easier. I'm sure willing to hear how it would work, but if you stopped at each one of those, because there's so many different budgets that we look at. It's not just the ones in County General. It's the ones throughout that we have to look at. If you stop to take public comment on each of those, we would really have to be in budget hearings for probably a couple of months.
Yeah, that's true. I don't disagree with you.
So I don't know. There must be a better way, but I don't know what it is.
Marty Hawk's our guest this morning, the county councilwoman, checking in on a very busy budget week, as we know with all that. When we put all this stuff together, what's the timeline now of getting it all? You talk about these meetings moving along. When does everything have to be put in and put the pen to paper?
Well, the big one we'll be looking at next week then will be the vote on the public safety tax. Because remember, even though we've been talking about it forever,
a long time,
there's not been a final vote to say, yes, we want to move forward for 2017 with this tax. I mean, these votes that you've been hearing saying, yes, we want to do this, or this is how we're going to distribute it to the fire departments and so forth, the final vote by the Income Tax Council, which is controlled by the city, has not happened yet.
When will it happen?
And that's supposed to happen next week.
The 27th, right?
Right, because it has to happen before October 1. So then all of that will go to the state, and then the state will say, yes, you did it right, or no, you didn't. I do believe they'll say we did it right because we are trying to follow their guidelines. I just hope we're having the amount of readings we're required to have. Some ordinances require more than one reading, so we'll see. I mean, hopefully all that's worked out. So that is a very important part of this because the city's budgets are all tied to this public safety tax, and the counties, as we'll see on Thursday when we're voting on how we plan to spend this tax that we don't even have yet, if it, for whatever reason, that the state turned down this public safety tax, we are all really in trouble.
Well, what would be the odds if you were a betting person on the state doing that? Is this a 50-50 shot? Is it 90-10 that it's going to happen? It's a pretty good chance it's going to happen, correct?
Oh, as long as we've hit the deadlines and we read them on the right number of times and we did the public notice correctly, then I think we're absolutely good to go. But we can't miss any of those dates because the state doesn't mess with you on that.
Marty, it just occurs to me that you guys are voting on budgets using that tax money. Is that even legal before the vote to have it by the Income Tax Council? Is that legal?
Well, it wouldn't. All of this will be subject to that tax taking place. If the tax doesn't take place, then these votes on how to spend it will be worthless. So I don't mean to throw up any red flags.
But I mean, you know, we all know that all this stuff centers around rules and regulations and laws. And
right.
It just occurs to me that if the state, for some weird reason, says, no, you guys aren't going to get this public safety tax, I'm just wondering what happens to both the city and county budgets that have this set up because they think that that's going to happen.
Well, all of those budgets would have to be readjusted, wouldn't it? And a lot of cuts have to be made.
Remember, Margaret, you can reduce, but you can't ask for more, right, Marty?
Absolutely. That's the reason why everything gets advertised high. and people look at it and go, oh, what are you doing? And that is just so that we don't mess it up and get the tax rates wrong. Or
yeah, give yourself some wiggle room.
Once it's advertised, you're done. But speaking of that, that also comes back to what will happen here if our assessed value, that is the value of all the property in the area where you're being taxed, if it doesn't grow in the same percent as the amount of spending grows, what then happens is that everybody's tax rate, so much a rate times every $100 of your assessed value, then that tax rate is going to go up to draw in the money.
Sure.
Because it's tied to, if everybody's property values go up, then that tax rate can remain the same if the spending remains the same. So we do have in now our net assessed value growth, which may sound boring, but, for instance, what I was so concerned with the Altsville area, because on that one report it showed that they might lose more in the circuit breaker.
Right.
Their assessed value growth was 1.25%. And the school, the Richland Bean Blossom School District, their total assessed value, which is, of course, all of Richland and Bean Blossom Townships, was 1.5%. So if their growth of spending goes up higher than the growth in assessed value, then they will lose more money in the circuit breaker, because that will force the tax rates up. And when the tax rates go up, more and more people don't have to pay the full tax, because it's all tied to that circuit breaker, that 1-3% circuit breaker. And we have in the, say, in the also Richland Bean Blossom School District area, that most of our big commercial is over in that TIF area, and that doesn't help us keep that tax rate low. And so we have mostly residential over there. And we have a lot of loss in the circuit breaker, because they don't have to pay more than 1% of the assessed value. So all of that sounds pretty boring, but I'll tell you what, if these numbers don't work out right, and if our spending exceeds the assessed value growth, then people are going to get a big shock when they open up their tax bill.
Marty, how have the numbers coming out of the auditor's office been working out for you for this budget hearing?
They're really working at it. I mean, that kudos to the people in that office. They're working with us. But I will say that right now we still are using we're contracting with someone to help us with our tax rates and levies. Someone that's been a state employee for years with the Department of Local Government Finance. We'll probably continue to do that as long as he's willing to do that, because it does keep us from making big mistakes. And then we also contract out with a gal who works for the court system, that she puts the budget books together for us, as well as the council staff. Now, these things would normally be done in the auditor's office.
Well, that's my next question. Is it going to go on forever, or is this the new normal?
And I think that will depend upon how the auditor wishes to do it and what she believes her staff is ready to take over. And certainly I would not want any auditor to come in and just say, okay, I'm going to do all this myself and try to practice on us, because the auditor's office is a hub of all of county government, as well as they have to make sure they've got the numbers right in for the schools and the library and everyone. So that auditor's office has to run smoothly. So to the extent that we can all work together to make sure that happens.
And if that costs an extra $100,000 a year, it costs an extra $100,000 a year.
Well, and what I've been wondering is there anybody in there trying to train and learn how to do this, so we're not taking on an extra $100,000 of contract work every year?
Well, I know that in a meeting the other day, I was told that the auditor, the one that was recently put in, is working with the gal from the State Board of Accounts, sort of a hands-on, so they're making sure that there's better understanding about how the system is supposed to work.
Well, you can pay as much money as you want to get all the understanding you want as well, Marty. If you want to have five extra people in there to get it done right, you can do it as long as you can pay for it. So that's the other, that's the other side of that coin.
It's not going to be free. I mean, you
no,
know,
I understand.
These things are not going to happen without proper training and cross-training, and it's available.
It's amazing how we got to this point without any of that. It's amazing we got to the year 2016 without any of that happening.
Well, you know, obviously,
it's only been going on for how many years?
Through the state, but you have to be willing to go learn.
Well,
yes,
and,
yes,
or you just have to write the check. It's so much easier to write the check, and that's if you want your government to spend money on that stuff. Well, there you go. That's what happens. I don't mean to cut you off. 8:33. We got a boogie.
Absolutely. You have a good week,
Marty
Hawk.
County Councilwoman checks in with us every Wednesday morning. We'll